Ladies and gentlemen, brand new. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. What did he say podcast? Yeah, this is the prototype of the prototype of the prototype. We're literally, we're going to figure this shit out as we go. So it might be tripods tipping over, but shout out to everybody here. We're coming at you live from RPT Studios, a.k.a. the Chingo Bling Network, a.k.a. broadcasting all over your viejas nalgas. Okay, we coming in extra
spicy.
They're like, yeah, Chingo's rusty, dog. We coming in extra hot, man. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the What Did He Say podcast, coming at you live from the RPT studios. It's your boy Chingo Bling, the homie from Corpus Christi drove in. What's up, Big Don?
What up, man?
Happy, thank you for joining us.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's with an S.
You know what I'm saying? Year's.
Thank you for joining us. We also have Juan Perez.
What's up, what's up?
Comedian extraordinaire, a.k.a. Blue Blazer in full effect. You know
what I'm saying? Full effect.
We got DJ producer Big Rob.
In
DJ
the background, Big in Rob. The background.
That's how we need a fourth camera. So when we set up the Patreon, we get everything going. We're going to need your economic participation.
Go fund me for the producer camera.
Yeah, if y'all want the, you know, if y'all want to see what Rob wearing back there.
You want the beard and the shot or not?
Yeah, man, come on now.
It's majestic.
Thank you.
You know, ladies of all generations appreciate Rob's Yellowstone beard.
This is true.
And
it's a strong beard.
That's got to be behind a paywall, man.
That's right.
No low testosterone over there.
It's all tea.
Poodle
it's
the alpha. Tea corner. Poodle alpha in this house.
If you would like to sponsor the tea corner, send us an email, marisol@chingobling.com. Tour dates, man. I have some tour dates coming up, thank goodness, because shout out to my wife and her apparel. Her apparel been holding it down.
You know what I'm saying?
Maintaining the household, making sure we got running water and electricity.
Got that support system.
Dude, last night the lights went out. I'm going to tell you about that. But first, January 25th, I'll be in McAllen. It's a doubleheader event, man. Chingo Bling and Raymond Horta, the pinche synergy, the pinche tag team. Y'all had no idea that y'all were needing. January 25th, McAllen. January 26th, South Padre Island, also at Raymond Horta. And January 27th, we finished the run in Laredo, Texas. Get all your info, get your tickets, check the venues. It might be like at a quinceañera salon. Don't worry about that. You're going to pay full rate because it's still, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it, man. So hit it up, chingobling.com. Get your tickets now. And we'll get to Javi's tour dates in a minute, man. But that way we don't bombard these motherfuckers with like, damn, bro.
First 5 minutes, put on show dates.
Don't forget Chingo de Churros. If y'all like coffee. Oh, let me tell you about how the lights went out before we get into current events and everything else. So last night was like a fire drill because my wife wasn't home yet. You know, she was at the Hive, shop at the boutique. Make sure y'all go check out the boutique. And I had the little one, the 1.5-year-old, in the tub. Right? She's in the tub. Penny's downstairs watching TV. Lights go out. Das! You hear from downstairs, Daddy, stop playing a prank on me. Daddy, I know that's you.
You play too much.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, I don't have my flashlight by me, so I got to do it with my phone, but I don't want to drop it in the waters. I'm trying to get the baby out. Mm-hmm. The other baby down, the toddler, she's downstairs like starting to freak out. Ha, 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 all right, Daddy, ha, 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 good one. Bro, I'm like, all right, I got to figure this out. So I managed to get the one out the tub. I go get the flashlight. Now I help guide Penny up the stairs. Mom's not home yet. Now I got to go in the garage, get the other flashlight, the batteries, the tourniquet. You know what I'm saying? In case some shit, you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And by the time Mom showed up, I was just like, hey, I ain't got to actually do the generator and all that, right? Like, we just going to wait on the city. Like, don't have me out there.
What's the estimate? On the repair time.
Yeah, exactly. Like you want to call Reliant first.
Why'd the power go out? You know,
Marisol thinks it has something to do with like somebody running into something because she saw like the metro truck and this. We really don't know. Our grid is kind of iffy.
Come on, Houston.
You know, the Texas grid is kind of iffy.
Just be running Houston driver
into poles and stuff all the time.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of Harris County. Y'all already know.
How they face that mic towards you a little bit.
So we can hear you better. Yeah. Like point it.
Like angle like that.
I see. Get up on it, Big Don.
Get up on it.
Whoa. Hey, don't edit none of that out. Don't edit none of that out.
That's strictly on the Patreon.
Hey, pause. No homo. Behind a paywall, though.
Deep throat that microphone.
Nobody said I had to do this.
Hey, so real quick, man. Before
OnlyFans content.
Yeah. Behind a paywall. So, if everybody listens to our other podcast on RPT, is that what you and I, Rob, we discuss music?
We did on the premium episode.
Or was it Cafecito time? But Cafecito. We talk about music a lot. Yeah. And make sure I go check those out. So, long story short, I was like, Rob, how do you not know Dr. Dre's The Chronic? Like, how are you not familiar with, like, Prince's, like, Prince, The Contribution? I was like, bro, Madonna was the shit. Lady Gaga was the broke man's version. She was trying to be avant-garde. I was like, you ain't know Papa Don't Preach was about abortion. She been tackling these issues head on. And I was like, dude, I showed him the Snoop Dogg, like something from Doggy Style. Snoop Doggy Dogg. First 20 seconds in, he's like, this is already more Snoop Dogg than I've ever watched musically.
Really? In my life.
It's true, yeah.
So is it just rap or like you're just...
No, because I love H-Town. No, definitely not. That's what Chingo said.
What'd you say, or what?
Single genre person.
Like some people like, this is what I listen to. Yeah. This is all I listen to.
No, honestly, it was just never exposed to me. But I want to get Javi's take on his music before y'all start roasting me because I didn't
No, this is going to be like, then he, long story short, he gave me two albums to check out. I gave him two albums. We'll get into that.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you were just saying he didn't know albums, and I was gonna go with you because I'm not an album name person. Like people are like, oh yeah, that song was on this album, and it was like I'm like, nah, I like that song.
Or I like that band.
And I know who sings it, but like I can't tell you what album it came out on most of the time, unless it's like someone I'm really into.
Yeah. So long story short, man. So obviously I had. Like, it was a good reminder to me that people have, they get exposed to different things, and there's that 10-year age gap.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of remember, like, bro, not everybody had the same exact fucking experience and exposure.
For sure.
Meanwhile, I was on the other side of the wall, and you were like, do you know what this song is about, Juan? And I was like, I overheard y'all, and I was like, abortion. You're like, man, yeah, see, he gets it. I'm like, son of a sure man. Don't.
hey, Juan be in the same boat because yesterday I was like, yo, I was like, have you ever seen Menace to Society? And Juan's like, yeah. I was like, dude, I was like, I watched it again last night. Marisol and I saw the first 15, 20 minutes and I was like, this is some Alfred Hitchcock shit. And Juan's like, he's just like, so did it hit the same? He's like, because I saw it with a chick not too like a while back. He's like, and she kept saying that this ain't funny, turn it off. And I was like, bro, Menace to Society. He got confused. He thought I was talking about Don't Be a Menace in the Hood, or Don't Be a Menace While Sipping Your Juice in the Hood.
But yeah, they did such a good job with that parody. Some, like, it is hard to separate the actual Menace to Society and Don't Drink Your Juice. Like in your head, like people like get scenes mixed up all the time because
it's like the Mandela effect.
They did such because they're like, oh, remember, like
when he shot the clerk, he went like this when he shot.
I gave the same answer, Juan. I gave Chingo the same answer like a year ago when he asked me that. That's what I was thinking of too.
The funny thing is, he was going in for 20 minutes with me, and he just kept like, is this Wayans Brothers? So yeah, and could you believe she didn't think it was funny? If she had fucked up my whole experience, he's just like, it wasn't funny. I was like, what?
Because I was going through it. I was like, bro, Sam Jackson in the second scene. Sam Jackson is the dad. He fucking shoots the dude, the cane, when he was a kid. He witnessed all this. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, dude, Jada Pinkett was a new actress. She's on in the scene, and she's got a role. And I was like, it was just like the 90s and all this type of shit.
And I'm sitting there like, man, maybe my memory's all fucked up because I don't remember none of that.
I remember the leaves. Remember the leaves were coming from nowhere?
I was like, I don't remember Jada. I don't remember Samuel.
Yeah, that's the actual Menace to Society. Everyone always remembers Don't Be a Menace.
Yeah. At one point, Javi had a whole script idea, like a spoof of Blood In, Blood Out, American Me and all that, and Selena.
Oh, El Movie. Yeah.
Instead of
I had a script La Movie? Called El Movie. Which is going to be basically what the Waynes did with Blood and Blood Out, with Boys in the Hood and Don't Be a Menace, but to do it with the Chicano hood movies, which was of course Blood and Blood Out and American Me, and then adding a little Stand Deliver. And
so do y'all know why Don't Be a Menace While Sipping Your Juice in the Hood, like that spoof title, y'all know where they're drawing from? So there's a movie called Juice, and that's another one of those like urban, you know, drama, you know, the plight of the black man.
Was Tupac in that one too?
Tupac was in that one. He was wasn't in Boys in the Hood. Mm. You think about Ice Cube, you're getting your rappers mixed up. So anyway, Don't Be a Menace, Menace to Society, While Sipping Your Juice, in the Hood, Boys in the Hood. Mm. So they're drawing, it's like saying like don't play your La Bamba with your friend Selena while standing and delivering, you know, blood in and with your blood out.
Or whatever. I'd never seen La Bamba either. That.
No?
No.
Wow.
A La Bamba? Okay. Yeah.
Never seen it. I'm not with you on that one. I've seen that one. Have you never seen it? Like, you've seen parts of it?
Only what I've seen, like, in a clip. Because it's like, it'll come back around.
It's on TV a lot. I mean, I watch TV,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You haven't seen Javi set?
Well, that's true. That's the only reason why I know it.
He has the fucking greatest reenactment.
I always run out the green room. I always run out the green room. First of all, props, dude. Props to Javi, bro.
What's his name? Ricky.
Richie.
My bad.
Okay, so you know the artist Richie Valens,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Oh, Donna, we belong together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You're mine. Anyway, you know,
6 number one hits in only 9 months.
That's
insane.
Facts, spitting facts.
That's insane. Yeah.
Well, his career was so short, you know, which you don't really usually in when they do biopics, right? They're trying to like truncate a whole long ass career into a movie.
It's like a summer.
Like, so you're like, oh, was that like 5 years in between that? Like, but with him, when they told that story in that movie, his career was seriously that short.
A few years, right?
9 months.
Oh, he had a 9 month career.
9 months from his first,
like, came out the gate with hits.
Yeah, and 9 months later, he was dead.
Wow.
Which one was his first hit? O'Donna?
Come On, Let's Go.
Let's Go.
Yeah. In fact, a little trivia for you. That was supposed to originally be the name of La Bamba. The movie was originally supposed to be called Come On, Let's Go.
That would have sucked.
If you watch the movie, a fun little drinking game. Watch La Bamba. Take a shot every time they say, Come On, Let's Go. It said like over 20 times.
Can,
like,
we do that on the podcast as an episode?
Sure, why not?
Shots or sips. I gotta say,
hits.
It's like a recurring line in the movie.
No,
damn, that is some good.
And then at the end, it wasn't until post production that they were like, you know, La Bamba's really a better fit.
I had no idea. So yeah. A couple years ago, Rob had mentioned he had seen a poster. You had a poster that said like classic cinema American like to-do list. Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta fucking watch this shit. And I'm glad I had like a film appreciation class in high school. This young teacher like showed us Space Odyssey 2001, like, mm-hmm, Alfred Hitchcock and all this stuff. And at the time, it's just like, oh, this is a fucking slacker class. Like, we just sit in the dark, fucking watch movies.
I took a similar class.
Oh, okay, well.
I took a literature and film class, and everyone else took it as a
slacker.
As a slacker class, and I was like, no, I was working at a video store at that time. I want to study all these films, man.
That's amazing. And so now, when I was watching Menace to Society, I was like, this is some Alfred Hitchcock type shit. The way the scenes and the lighting and the tension is, obviously it's from a different time period, but I was like, I wanted to do a deep dive and be like, what were the Hughes brothers' cinema influences, mm-hmm, in terms of like, what type of gangster movie? Because they even show like a lot of old timey gangster movies within, mm-hmm, Menace to Society. So it, mm-hmm, might be like the parents watching something, or the kid seeing there's something on the TV, like subtle. Anyway, Marisol and I were watching Menace to Society, and I was like, bro, the intro scene is so fucking classic. And I was like, those two Asian storekeepers, I was like, they sold that scene. They're just like, hurry up and buy. You know, like, I feel sorry for your mother. What you say about my mom? Give me the security tape. He only had $6 and kicked him again. I was like, oh, shit. And then this following scene after that is him as a kid, the protagonist as a kid, mm-hmm, Sam Jackson as his dad, and it's a gambling dice game thing going on. His mom's on heroin. It's like basically Kendrick Lamar borrowed that whole fucking aesthetic and made his whole career off that scene, basically. But anyway, Sam Jackson, like,
put on the Chingo calls out Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, perfect. Clickbait. But then to see Sam Jackson play the same guy over and over again throughout his whole career, he's like,
the U.S. defense industry is large, complex, and competitive. It is also lucrative for those companies able to navigate it successfully. The American Society of Military Comptrollers helps bridge the gap between the boardroom and the battlefield while supporting transformation in the defense sector. The Business of Defense podcast brings you inside the companies working to achieve this, directly from the business leaders, and to understand how they create value for their companies and their customers. For more information on ASMC, visit asmconline.org.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call, I talk to one of them, they stay anonymous, I can't hang up, that's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous.
Where's my money, motherfucker? And you know, he's like, suck my dis. Shoots him a bunch of times. I was like, this is the second scene in. I was like, I've seen this movie plenty of times. Then the third scene is when his cousin gets shot in the fucking street after they're pumping gas. And he's fucking twitching on the floor. And then the Muslim dude, which they spoofed on Don't Be a Menace. He's like, it ain't right, all right. Sharif, come on. It ain't right, all right. I was like, bro, this is the first three scenes out the gate. There's death, fucking death.
But that's what they need to do, to paint that picture of, okay, this is a very violent world these people are living in.
Shakespeare,
and yet, and yet they're having to go through just normal life stuff, and then also I might get shot at any point.
And also Jada Pinkett throwing me to, you know what I'm saying? She flirting, so I might have to do that.
You know what I'm saying? But her dude's my homie, and he's locked up right now.
That was actually his big homie, like, Pernell. Yeah. That was his big homie. Dang. It's fucking Shakespeare, bro.
It is.
But anyway, it was nice to do that little memory lane. But back to these albums. So I gave Rob some homework assignment.
Yeah.
I told him to check out. He said, give me some albums between 90 to 93.
Yeah.
That was a little
track
difficult.
One, side one.
I gave him it was tricky because I was like, okay, now
DMC?
They didn't drop some shit that year.
He got it.
Go ahead.
So I said, all right, Nas Illmatic. I was like, check out Nas Illmatic. And then I was going to also be like, oh, shit, Tribe Called Quest. But then I'm like, wait, that's too East Coast. I was like, ah. So then I was like, keep scrolling. We did a Google search of what dropped that time. And I gave him the first Outkast album, which probably isn't even their best album. But just so he can at least say, yeah, I have checked out their first fucking album, bitch. And if he says I don't like them, then he at least... And it was a Southern playlist of Cadillac Music.
Yes,
okay.
I like that one more than I like Nas.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Just the delivery, the sound. Like, even though it was the same time, it sounds like completely different worlds. I mean, I don't know if it's Atlanta versus New York or what it is, but
that's always the context is always like who produced it.
Mm-hmm. There's way more tracks I liked on Outkast.
Interesting. I didn't think that was going to be your answer.
What was the documentary that Ice-T narrated? The hip hop.
Oh yeah, I saw that at Sundance. I forget what it was called.
That's a good one if you're looking, because I missed a lot of that too. I'm with you there because I was an oldies kid growing up. Like I like Richie Valens and all that stuff. That's what I was listening to as a kid, and then it wasn't until I got to like high school that I started to venture
a little bit
into contemporary music. Well, I mean the stuff I would hear around, right? Whatever my parents, you're always exposed to whatever your parents listen.
Cleaning
to.
The house, yeah.
I got a little bit of rap because of my brother. I got a little bit of R&B and stuff because of my cousins. But if I was in my room, I'm listening to golden oldies. I'm listening to Richie Valens. I'm listening to Elvis Presley, you know, stuff like
that.
I didn't start getting into like country and stuff like that until I was already like almost out of high school.
Because it's like an ocean.
Yeah.
So like for instance. I was familiar with, like, obviously Metallica. Like, because he assigned me Metallica Live from Mexico City.
Such a great album.
And Pantera, Cowboys from Hell.
Yeah.
And I actually listened to the deluxe version, which had live cuts.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with that.
You got that extra credit in.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Well, it was a pleasant surprise because, like, I was familiar with heavy metal. Like, I was still grew up in the 80s and you got older siblings and all that shit, like... You're growing up in America, like you know the shit, right? You're at least somewhat familiar. I knew how big Metallica was. I knew they were global and every stadiums and all that shit. So I listened to their the Live from Mexico City. That was like a cool experience. Just seeing, like hearing them. I pictured like it's a little orchestra symphony with just a different texture of sound. Like that's the level of musician these motherfuckers are with their instruments, right? And the fact that it was live, I was like, damn, these dudes are putting on a show. Like, I can't even see what they're doing. It's like, Mexico City, you know? And then the first song, is that theirs? The Modelo song? Something for gold?
I can't remember which one's the first one on the album now.
It's, man.
While he's looking that up, Javi, what's your favorite like artist of all time, if you had to say?
Oh man.
Because you used to play the guitar on your Instagram pretty often.
Yeah.
So I know you've got a palette, like a wide palette of music.
I do, and I take pride in that. Like I do, like a little bit of everything. Like I can enjoy almost anything. It's tough, man, because I like a lot of lyricists. Like definitely Ray Wiley's one of the best just storytellers.
Oh, I gotta check that out.
And he's very poetic in the way he writes. He actually started out as a poet and then picked up music. And I like a lot of guys like that. The same reason I like a lot of early John Mayer.
Yeah.
And his style of songwriting. So I gravitate towards songwriters, storytellers, anything that's kind of a little folky.
Mm-hmm.
I like bluegrass. I would have to say overall, probably now looking back, I'd probably say Bob Marley.
Mm.
And that's something, someone that I didn't really start to like actually study like what he was doing until I was already an adult, you know. But yeah,
Bob Marley, never would have guessed.
You fuck with Bob Marley?
Not really.
That's my initial perception. Like that's why I had a fucking like cognitive dissonance of like I just assume everybody thought Michael Jackson was dope, Prince uh-huh. was dope, Madonna was dope, or
pop outside of like the golden age of rock and roll, right? When rock and roll was pop, you know, which is right up until the point where you go into like the Beatles, and then everything becomes this like when pop becomes just this synthesized music.
Yeah.
It gets too poppy. It just depends on the artist, but like just.
Yeah, where you can't even tell. Or like there's no guitar when the guitar riff exited pop music,
right?
You know, which you rarely hear now, and if it is, it's incredibly simplistic.
Yeah, you same know, four chords.
Right.
Yeah,
you know, I kind of checked out.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, Javi has an appreciation for rock.
Yeah, but like for example, like hearing Rob say, like to me, it's like you've been missing out on Bob Marley, so that's why instantly I have this shock of like Bob Marley. It's like, have you tried it? It's almost like it's a food. Like,
yeah.
Have you tried Bob Marley?
People associate it, you know, with whatever, weed culture and all that. But, I mean, he wrote some beautiful, you know.
Oh, it's great.
Songs.
It's great.
Is it like a go-to album for Bob?
Just listen to the hits, I would say.
Yeah. Again.
Steer it up.
Yes. No Woman, No Cry to me is one of the most, you know, It's just a beautiful
no
song,
woman,
you
no
know,
girl.
And of course, and you know, One Love and all the hits, you know,
just the hits, bro. Just peep the hits.
All right, I'll peep the hits.
Been missing out.
Yeah, Rob,
you've been missing out.
Dang. Hey, man, you're not off limits here either. Juan don't even know an artist's name, much less an album.
I'm surface level with
some
music.
Some people don't, man. Aren't into like
I'm a nerd when
I don't have enough room in my brain for it. So it's like
saying, I mean, what I know is I have to really like it to be able to tell you, like I said, an album. Like even Auburn. Could I name them out? If you really pressed me for it, I could dig somewhere and like, oh yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just I know what songs of his I like. You know, put on a playlist.
Yeah. I might not know like, oh, that was live from '86 and.
Which kind of I tried to start collecting a little bit of vinyl, these past few years, because that kind of forces you, right? Because I grew up primarily CD age, you know, and then even towards the end of my like high school career, MP3 players started to come out. And I feel like right as soon as that happens, the concept of an album kind of died a little bit, right? Especially now, people. I feel like people don't even really focus on the album. It's just, oh, this is everything's a single now.
Wait, let's
put it out. We record it, put it out.
How old are you?
I'm 39. 39?
Yeah. Okay, so we're on the same.
So yeah, so I missed a lot of that. You know, I got to experience going to Craig's Record Factory or FYE or whatever and go pick up a CD. But by the time I actually really had the money to like, oh, I'm going to invest in music, you know, and start purchasing music, it was, you know, it was Napster and
like. Oh, you're right.
Yeah. I was all in because, I mean, I was always a nerd about the shit. That's why the assignment of like, all right, Rob assigned me to. It was such a fun exercise, right? So I was checking out the Metallica Live, just appreciating, like, damn, who mixed this shit? And did they write all their own stuff? And damn, who's the dude on the drums, right? Or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I'm checking it out, and I was jamming it while running errands. So you hear, like, a song or two. You hop out the car. An hour later, you hear another song, like that. And we were going to meet up, like, today. So I'm like, shit, I got to hurry and start getting on my Pantera homework. So when I first popped in the album... I was like, all right, okay, already it's slightly different. And I already knew, I knew they were from Texas. I knew they weren't like as big as Metallica or anything like that. And Rob had gave me a little cheat sheet. He's like, oh, one of the greatest guitar players, whatever. So I'm checking it out, and I was just like, I had these expectations. So at first, I'm kind of like, huh, where's the catchy melody? Like, I want to hear the chord progression. Like, okay. And I'm just like, all right, well, it's got a cool texture. You know, because every time I had a rehearsal studio to either, like, rehearse with a band at a time, or sometimes certain music people, like in Austin, they might have a production studio in a big warehouse with individual rooms. So you hear down the hall, and you're like sharing the break room and stuff with these fucking dun, 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 and you just hear it through the walls, and you're like, okay, it's cool. So by the time I got to the Pantera part where it was like the live shit, by then it was like, Pantera, are we falling in love? Like, is that, yeah. Can I say I love you yet, Pantera? I was like, where the fuck you been? I was like, holy shit. Because some of the stuff was so, like, clean, even though it was fast. Like, fucking, I was like, oh, shit. Like, when you're rolling in jiu-jitsu, like, play that shit.
100%, yeah.
And,
it sounds like them drums stirred something in you.
It did. Vinnie Paul, one of the best drummers ever.
And, of course, the drum being, like, the first instrument, right?
Right. Sets the whole, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not into metal. I couldn't, other than, like, the big names, I couldn't tell you any metal bands, but I get the appeal to why it just gets the
blood pumping.
And it's a lot of that double bass,
and
you know, just triggers something instinctual and
primal, bro.
Primal.
First of all, bro, like, I was like, who mixed this live? I was like, first of all, y'all sound better live. I was like, what the fuck? Number two, it's even though it was so fast, they were in, it had a swing to it,
mm-hmm.
and they were super in the pocket still. I'm like, what the? Like, it was one of those where, like, bro, you could have filmed my reaction, and it would have been where I'm like, pause.
I told Tingo to do that, like people do on YouTube, like rapper reacts to metal, or metal, or, you know, reacts to rap.
Yeah, like people hear Bob Marley for the first time.
Same, yeah, I could do that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely a firm believer in, I've heard the quote attributed to two people, and I could believe both of them saying it, Frank Zappa and John Coltrane, which is, there's only two types of music, right? Good music and bad music. To me, metal is one of those genres where when it's played well, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those genres that's very easily done bad. And when it's bad, it's fucking...
But that's what anything...
When you get a bunch of people who don't know their craft,
yeah,
or whatever, and it's all over, and it's really just a bunch of noise. That's what I think a lot of people, when they say, talk about like metal, you hear, oh, it's just a bunch of noise.
Yeah, right.
Well, you're hearing bad metal, right? if you're listening to it done well, you know,
yeah, it's an art.
It's almost like you got to
respect what it is.
It's almost like you have to like train your ears to know how to listen to metal, just like with hip hop. Like, if you're gonna listen to Nas. Like, I don't know, like, what'd you think about the samples and the beats?
They were very similar. The drums. And what I started to appreciate was that I heard Logic in some of Nas's stuff. You know, I heard Logic the rapper, and I heard like more of the modern people, like, oh, I see how many times this sound was sampled throughout my like high school years and beyond, right? And then New York State of Mind, and then I forgot what the last one is. Those are probably my two favorite on that Illmatic album.
What'd you like on Outkast one?
Dude, they were all pretty good. Like,
oh shit,
Andre 3000's. I mean, cause you got to think too. Like, when did Outkast drop their last album? Like, late '90s, early 2000s. Like, Outkast has been a name.
No, not late '90s. It had to be in the 2000s.
It was already 2000s because I reviewed it for my college paper.
Oh no, shit.
Because it was a double album.
Oh, the Love Below Speaker Box.
It was like 2005, right?
Yeah, it had to have been like 2004 or 2005, somewhere around.
I think it was 2005.
And okay, they've evolved so much that you at least got to sit down and listen to their first. When they were just nobodies from Atlanta, like that helped shape a lot. And then the production team behind
those first three, right, which is the Pimp Atlantic, what's it?
Southern Playlist, Cadillac Music.
I know
AT Aliens,
and then Stankonia was
Stankonia. After that.
Yeah. I forgot where I heard the story. I know I'm going back to Metallica, but whenever they first came on the scene, they like overshadowed the band they opened for, right? Or something like that. Y'all never heard of that? think it was Saxon.
Well, that's happened a lot. I just don't know.
They just no, but like the first time they were just like, yeah, you could open for us. It's like the opening band, and they were just like, oh shit, we gotta follow that shit.
It's just like comedy, right?
And they just went back up like, oh yeah, oh, and they just ate it just because they had.
There's been stories about that. Stevie Ray Vaughan was actually supposed to he was David Bowie's guitarist for a minute and went to the Montreal some pops festival. I'm mistaking Montreal.
You're thinking comedy?
Comedy festival. But, goes up and fucking blow and go and plays before fucking Bowie and just fucking
wow,
annihilates.
Like, are you familiar with? Because I was gonna send Chingo Texas Flood, but I was like, nah, it's not really the. It wasn't the same time period, I guess, kind of for what we're talking about. But were you like a Stevie Ray Vaughan kind of fan, like of that kind of Texas artist?
Man, I'm just not familiar. I haven't just sat down and really.
Okay, no, just curious.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say?
Oh no, I was gonna say
Texas Flood's a great album to start with.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Okay, what's a different time period?
Well, it's just the blue. It was like blues. Like we weren't really talking about like blues.
Texas blues rock.
Sound. Yeah, it's way different than metal. Yeah.
Okay, I gotta check that out for sure. We'll do another week.
If you fuck have time. Yeah.
I'm surprised you had time because I know he was up on all the podcasts too. Like, man, you heard the new this and the new Rogan. I'm like, when do you have time to listen to the homework?
Do you listen to music while you're doing stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you sit down and...
I try to do both, but I find that if I can... Like, for instance, when I was listening to Nas, I was editing... I was getting stuff ready for the podcast. Like, so I was lining up shows and clips to get ready to go, so I'd pause the music and start on the audio. If the music stops for me what I'm doing, then I'm like, oh, this is really good. Like, the sound's really good, or the lyrics in, like, New York State of Mind were really good. I just stopped what I was doing, and I started listening. Okay. But if I listened to the album all the way through, I only caught, like, two or three songs that did that. So I listened to it again in the car, and I was like, okay, I did miss a couple of little gems in here, but it didn't, like, stop me from what I was doing.
It's crazy because, like, that 10-track album is considered, like, one of the greatest fucking hip-hop albums. But it's all subjective.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, I had a hard time picking what I was going to sign you because... To me, I was like, fuck. I was later when, because you sent me to Metallica Live, and I was like, bro, he might need to check out Jay-Z's live album he did for MTV. Where he wore that stupid ass Che Guevara shirt. But anyway. but I was like, damn, that's a really good live album. He had the Roots back him. Oh. Yeah. But, oh, this is what I want to say. Javi always has the best fucking walk into the stage music.
I don't know about that
one. Yeah, no, seriously, it's always, because see, with me, it's always like Jerry Garcia saying like, ah, oh, come on, Chingo, you got to come out to your shit. Like, it's part of the experience. That's what the fans expect. Yada, yada. I'm like, all right, fuck it then, man. Then, you know, that Kanye in Chicago, man, that shit was going to get me in the right mood, man. You know, he from here, right? Or whatever, right? You know, I got to come out to that yay, you know, in a good life. But then Javi have him fucking getting ready with that, which is that one that, like, War...
Oh, yeah.
Or Cisco, that's Cisco War 2. Cisco Kid. How he's walking out there with his bandana. Was a friend of mine.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen you come out of that one yet.
I think it's more because a lot of people see. There's two ways for me looking at the walk up song, right? People, oh, this is how I want people. But for me, it's more like
it's for you.
What's going to put me in the mindset
like a fighter
that I need to be in?
This ain't for y'all, man. It's for me.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, if y'all are vibing to it, great. But yeah, it's really.
I'm gonna have fun.
Yeah,
I hope y'all did too.
For comedy, I feel like if you are
that's
having
how
fun,
it is, yeah.
The audience is gonna
have fun. Yeah, if you ain't having fun, you're not doing it right.
I think Javi's got to put us on some of those the early music he likes because I'm surprised also that you took to the Pantera like you did.
Holy shit! I mean, I want to digest it because there's a lot to kind of unpack.
But just from the
initial, I was like, yo, these live tracks and just the fucking the musicality of where, like, first of all, I don't know how they're able to do their voice like that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, even when homeboy's talking to the crowd, like,
yeah.
And I was just like, God damn, I can't even do a skit like that. My shit starts, I start coughing. My Malo Motivations on Monday and shit. Raza.
You can edit that word, right, Juan? Yeah. You can edit Juan, that you word. Got, Juan, you got that me. One? All right, edit that word.
That's funny. Do you have a... So I kind of want some homework now from Javi real quick before we get into some current events. We got about 15 minutes left on this episode. What's an artist? Like an artist that you say, like someone's got to experience. Like Chingo said Nas, Illmatic. Like what's the... You got to listen to this from your time.
From my time?
That you enjoyed music-wise.
Or you want to give him the time span of, what is it, 90 to 93?
90 to 93. Like, early 90s, I feel like across the board had some of the best music.
What grade were you in, though?
I wasn't. I was like 4.
No.
I was born in 89.
90 to 93, I mean, I was 8 to 10 years old. So So I wasn't. I would have to say the first album that I wanted was Green Day's Dookie album.
Oh, great album! Yeah,
great, yeah,
yeah. That was probably one of the first, like, and it was a cassette I bought. Like, oh, it came out. I'm gonna go get it.
Oh wow!
Maybe the question should be like from your high school years, only because I feel like I assigned Nas Illmatic to a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, I almost feel like, damn, bro, you were 4, and I just told you, listen to fucking...
But I love music, and you said this was like, it's... What did you say? It's iconic, right? It's iconic. I want to listen to iconic shit.
I had horrible taste in music in high school. Horrible. I mean, because I just listened to whatever was on like, a top 40 radio. So I'm talking about, like, Sum 41 and, like, Sugar Ray.
Oh, that's funny.
Stuff that high school kids listen to.
Why are you gay?
At crappy parties, you know? But then, like, towards the end, I started to get into, like, Dave Matthews Band, Weezer.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Hey, Fat Lip went hard. Sum 41 had a couple of bangers.
Yeah, it was all right. It was all right. You know, like,
sir, don't call them bangers.
They were bops. They were bops.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And I still, you know, sometimes, you know, my wife and I'll be hanging out, whatever, sipping some wine, and I'll throw on, like, the, like, just trash 90s, you know, some Matchbox 20, you know, and we'll just go down that rabbit hole of like, oh, remember this one? Oh, yeah.
Are we really doing this? Are we doing, fuck it.
We do it all the time. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
We like to do that.
Third Eye Blind and shit.
That's one thing I appreciate about Marisol and I is like, we kind of came up around the same time. So like, we get all the same shit, like same... Like, we're sitting there watching The Menace of Society, and she's remembering the scene, doesn't it?
Yeah, they were both repulsed with Rob when they found out he did.
Dude, when I said I think Madonna's trash, they both almost lost it.
I mean, she was iconic for the time. I mean,
my soul was just like...
Yeah, yeah.
I was fortunate enough. A lot of people think I'm sometimes older than I am because my brother is, like, almost 10 years older than me.
He's same.
Like, 9 years older than me. So, even though I was... literally a baby in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I got exposed to a lot of 80s stuff through him just because...
Yeah, same here.
He had it around. Like, Ice-T. Ice-T was already acting by the time I was truly aware, like, who he was. Say I grew up with Ice-T would be...
Yeah.
Understand. But I remember my brother having Cop Killer, you know, blasting while he's getting ready for school.
Even before... First of all, we backed police. Nah. even, like... Well, speaking of Ice-T...
Well, he plays a cop now.
Yeah,
that's true.
Nothing but. Anyway, speaking of Ice-T, like the movie Colors, that was first when I was like the theme, one of the main rap songs. It was I'm a nightmare walking psychopath, stalking any problem I got. I just put my fist in or whatever, whatever. And it's fucking Ice-T, his rap song, and then he actually played a cop, a undercover cop on New Jack City. Mm-hmm. So by then I was already up on game, but one of my favorite songs of his when I was a little kid was 6 in the morning, police at my door, fresh Adidas squeak across the bathroom. You know what I mean? It was like the cruising down the street in my 6-5. It was like the same. It's like who bit who type of thing. 6 in the morning, police at my, like the same type of storytelling.
I mean, when I would say watching Colors, which is not a kid appropriate movie. When I say I got to see that when it came out because of my brother, my mom hated that, by the way. I remember my brother went and got that cassette when it came out, the soundtrack, and was blasting that color. And that comes on, and my mom, it was a funny just story we laugh at about my mom to this day. She couldn't tell what it was saying. Old people always do that. You can't even tell what it's saying. She's yelling at my brother's playing it in the truck right on the way to school, and she's like, turn that off. What is it? And the song says colors. But she heard it as crud, which was offensive to her for some reason. She goes, what do they keep saying? Crud? Crud? Crud?
That's crazy.
Turn that off.
Some racist shit.
Saying crud.
Crud.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kinds of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
Yeah. Oh, so when I met Maria Conchita Alonso, who was in Colors, so when I met her, all I could think of was like, you was one in that scene with Pac-Man.
Yeah, and, Pac-Man.
Yeah, well, Pac-Man was beating it up, and now you're here.
What are you
and
doing, Pac-Man?
It's like, Maria Conchita.
I'm a huge fan.
Huge fan of your work.
Yeah, huge fan of your work. All right, current events, man. What we got going on?
What do we have going on today? Anybody? Well, before we do that, what do we got going on, Javi, show-wise? What do you got going on?
So I will be in Bass Trap, Texas on the 27th
of
January. Sorry, I didn't know when this is coming out. And then I'll also be in Corpus Christi, my hometown, at Mesquite Street Comedy Club downtown on the 11th of February, and also on Valentine's Day. So you can bring the side chick to one and the main to the other one. You can do both, whichever, and we're gonna hit them both. Cause some people like to go out on Valentine's Day. We're also gonna hit the weekenders. Get out of the way.
That's great. Hey, that's a hell of a date idea. It's nothing like a good comedy show.
Date night, man. Get out of the mundane, movie and a dinner.
And the good thing is the comedians do all the work for you. So they, you know,
they're going to be in a good mood. They're going to be laughing. Smiling. Laughter's an aphrodisiac, you know what I'm saying?
Giggling.
Yeah, y'all giggling and stuff.
Y'all giggly.
You know what I'm saying?
Just don't get out of hand because Javi will roast you.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, embarrass you in front of your chick. That's gonna be the worst thing.
I don't want to sit up front. Well, don't say shit. Don't say shit. I ain't gonna say shit.
Don't start no shit. Won't be no shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna roast you just because you wore a shirt that I don't like. I don't do that.
Like, oh, look at this guy.
Look at this guy. Where'd you get this shirt from? Where's this guy's shop? Douchebags are us. Yeah. Huh?
Did your wife know you're a douchebag? How long have you been a douchebag?
On Valentine's Day.
God, dog.
Jesus. That'd be the worst.
Javi, how's the comedy scene right now down there where you are? Like, I saw Marlon. I think, who's coming to town? One of the Wayans brothers?
It's popping, man. So comedy in Corpus has finally reached a point where it's, I can actually call it a scene. Because it prior to that, it's kind of just been like one person booking a room or one club operating. Now we have, you know, multiple, there's levels to the shit. Actually, we got an active open mic scene. We got a bunch of open micers putting on their little showcases and shows at different bars and venues and coffee houses and stuff. And then we have a room that's booking a lot of regional acts to come down and you know, do a show inside a restaurant. And then we have Mesquite Street, which does the same thing with regional acts, but they also opened up just back in 21, I believe, their Southside location, which is like a 300-400 seat something venue. Don't quote me on the numbers, but it's huge. It's an old movie theater that they turned into a comedy club, so it's very now similar to like the size of what an improv would be, which are improvs are classified as comedy theaters. So now we can bring big acts. So have big acts there. Like, I got to open for Eddie Griffin there. Previously, there was no space there for people to go to Corpus. You know, it was kind of, we missed out on a lot of acts because we have a theater, 2,000 seat theater. But if you can't sell 2,000 seats, but you'd have to do too many shows inside of a 150 seat venue, you're not going to come to Corpus. So no one would come anywhere south of San Antonio. So we're getting a lot of acts now coming through. We had Rob Schneider. Like I said, Marlon Wayans is coming the end of the month sometime.
Yeah, Texas is on the map, Big Dot. You know, we got Rogan and them up there in Austin.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole different L.A. move to Austin.
Yeah.
You know, comedy scene-wise, man. Yeah, and that's...
You know what? When I got to visit Tom Segura Studios with Danny Brown, pretty much the entire staff all moved there to Austin from LA. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. So it's like none of y'all local. Like none of y'all could be like, hey, let's go to, you know, on the south side.
The funny part is, years ago when we did Oxnard, I stayed over an extra day and I stayed in LA. I did the mic at the Comedy Store. I did Potluck, and then I got on Tony Hinchcliffe's podcast, Kill Tony. And I went up first, and, you know, they only give you 1 minute, but I did pretty good for the minute. So typically what they do on there is they roast you. But I didn't really give them anything to roast me on other than my size, you know. So they spent the most of their time with me telling me, you know, oh, why did I still live in Texas? Why didn't I, if I'm so good, why didn't I move out to LA? And yada, yada. The hilarious part is 4 years later,
they're all moving.
All those guys have moved now
to Texas. So. Chico's been saying it forever.
Motherfucking right. So next, I'm going to give you a UGK album.
Oh,
so you see the power of Texas.
No, you live in Houston. I know you listen.
Of course. But you talk about extra credit. Juan mentioned when Chewing got to the Pantera Live stuff. I actually, when I was looking for Nas and then I went to the Outkast, Wu-Tang came up for whatever reason, as like I suggested. So I did dive into a little bit of Wu-Tang, but we'll save that for another episode.
Did you do the first album, 36 Chambers?
Wu-Tang, that was the one that Wu-Tang was suggested. Those,
you got to listen to the album.
Right? Oh, yeah. In its entirety, right? Yeah. Right, right. That's what I hear.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'll serve myself that one as a homework
on your own. Okay. Well, shit. Well, if you wanna make that your next album, hey, what happened to Dr. Dre the Chronic? Why is it not on iTunes and Spotify? And neither is Doggy Style by Snoop Dogg. Something with Master.
I knew this answer because it came up not that long ago, and yeah, it's something with
The Master and
licensing.
Well, unfortunately, it might be hard to find. So maybe maybe do Tribe Called Quest, their first album. I just hate to give you number East Coast.
Yeah, that's all you
number
did.
New York people.
Yeah. Was there nobody on?
Well, let me see. For a specific time period? I mean, obviously Too Short, E-40. I mean, there's a lot of people on the West. I mean, again, Dre, N.W.A., Dr. Dre the Chronic, that was like a big album. Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style was a big album.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I got like, let's do one before we do our 45, wrap up our 45 minutes here. Do you guys remember, this is just trending, which is why I'm bringing it up. The guy that played Chandler's dad on Friends, the trans character.
Eddie Izzard?
I don't remember who, actually Eddie Izzard's like full trans now, huh?
Is he? Yeah. I haven't followed him in years, but
he chopped it?
I think so. I mean, somebody had read an article. Remember, he's a comedian, right? He's a full-time comedian, like, who would dress up as a woman, on stage. But now is like full trans, supposedly.
Oh, does he sound the same?
I haven't heard or seen anything. It's just somebody was reading a headline about it.
We're speculating a lot.
Totally.
Yeah, I think he did chop it off.
Yeah,
I think he chemically castrated himself.
I've seen Friends, but no, I don't remember. I can't picture.
Did it just fall off?
Well, they said that even though they didn't regret the role, they probably wouldn't play the trans role on Friends today. Kathleen Turner was that artist.
Kathleen Turner. Huh.
Oh, okay. So it was an actual female.
Yeah, it was, but she had very like dude, you know.
Oh, she played a trans dude.
Yeah, she played Chandler's dad, who was like a trans Vegas cross-dresser.
Oh, I was thinking the other way.
So she played a man who dressed up as a woman, but she's just a woman with manly features.
Yes, yes, yes.
And she regrets it because that's taken away from a trans person?
Go ahead. Yeah.
So I'm thinking I know who it is.
She's regretting it because she doesn't want to take jobs away from actual trans people.
Well, she didn't really say why. She said based off the climate of like today's world, she wouldn't redo that role, which is a very popular role. Like that's a really famous role from the late 90s.
And she got paid.
But in a way, she doesn't stand by it, or in a way like I just don't want any backlash. Like,
or because she doesn't think it's right for an actual, because she's a biological,
right?
Yeah. Female, right? Probably female, that's
cisgender.
Like you should actually play.
Yeah, but back then everybody was thirsty for a role, though.
Like, no, I'm saying, but she's saying now today she thinks. Is it because she thinks that role should be played by an actual trans?
Maybe she's
person?
Virtue signaling. She's just saying that.
Yeah, but she's if you wear that get headlines now,
yeah,
trying to get headlines.
It's like, but how much you gonna pay me though? Just no, before I say
well,
that.
Well, I'm actually trans now, so give me a different role.
It was a hot show back in the day. I don't know a lot of people would have said
yeah,
no.
I know. You sure you want to say no to Friends?
Dude, I know, exactly.
Well, it depends. When did she come into the... When people did she actually get in onto Friends? Like, was it the first season?
It was early on. It was like...
Oh, it was early?
Well, so, she was one of the main character's mother. It was probably would have been a recurring
role. She was super recurring.
No, I know, but like, it depends on like, if it was already big and then she got on, they were going to write her a check. But if it was like... First starting out,
it was 01 is when she was on the show. Season? The show was at a huge.
Well, she wasn't like a character actor. She would have been like a guest star.
Yeah,
she was a known actress at that point.
Right,
so I'm sure she got residuals and all. She wasn't like walking in with like scale.
Yeah,
I'm sure. So I'm sure even if it wasn't a big show, I'm sure she still got.
She got that paper.
One more in entertainment, just because we've been talking about it this episode. Yeah. Did you guys ever see Zoolander?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Was it good? I always hear that it was like it's an underrated movie.
It's fun.
It's all right. Juan said yes. Like he's excited.
It's funny. You like the overactor?
No, it's just because it was funny. Like there was just a lot of like different things that like you know how movies back then used to have like catchphrases and stuff when you leave the damn. That's what that one was.
Yeah, it was a little too silly.
They said they might make a third one for me for fans.
Yeah, I mean I get it. I'm not saying it's not funny, but like to be like the whole like this spraying the gasoline and so it's like.
All right. But, I mean, they're making TikToks about them now, and not only that, but the computer thing, the files are in the
computer. Exactly. Like, no, those there was things good are stupid. Humor yeah. with within there, right?
Yeah, and the whole there's nuggets. Overall,
you had to be there. Yeah, that's like the Big Lebowski. I tried to show my wife. I was like, man, it's one of my favorite movies, and she's like, okay, well, I couldn't find it, so I put up like out of context scenes. Jump cut together from like a YouTube thing, and it just missed the mark. And it's just one of those like I'm just like if you just sit and you just really watch it, she's just like okay.
Now she'll never watch it,
and she's like, "Don't be a menace. Let's watch that.
Just watch Don't Be a Menace."
I love the Big Lebowski.
No, not Don't Be a Menace to just Menace to Society.
Right. No, but I'm saying that's what I was saying. That's why they ended up watching that.
Correct him, Javi. Correct him.
Hey, man. I love the way.
Are we still confused on the difference between Menace to Society and Don't Be a Menace?
Don't Be a Menace is the comedy.
Is the spoof.
Menace to Society is the drama.
You got it?
No, I still haven't seen the other one, so I don't know. I don't got it. I still got the one in my head.
All right. Let her.
All right, y'all. We'll talk more cinema, more music. Until next time, don't forget, man, website. They can check out your tickets and where you're going to be.
Website is Universal Comedy. All social media is Javi Luna Comedy, so you can find me on there.
Luniversal Comedy.
Yeah.
Like Luna, y'all.
I like that. Javi Luniversal Comedy.
Luniversalcomedy.com.
Javi About That Life.
That's a good website.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
It'll be in the description in the show notes below.
And chingoblin.com for all my chucherias and fucking the digital pulga. And we will see you on the road in a city near you. Happy New Year. Sas.